First, let me just say, it is so good to get up here and to speak to actual people, all right? I can't tell you how difficult it is to stare into a camera and to hope that there are people out there that are listening to the message, to not knowing how they're responding to your words. And so it's so good to actually have you here. And I miss all of you, I mean that. And I miss the people tremendously, because it's all about us, right? It's about people. It's not us. It's about people is what I'm trying to say. And so it's so good to have you here. And I miss those that aren't here, because like I said, there are some that haven't been able to come yet, and I miss them as well, and look forward to when they can be back and we can all kind of be back to normal. But it's been a journey, right? A journey that we're still on. We're still navigating what it looks like moving forward, but we're back, and I'm thankful for the reality of that. And I know that all of you that are here are as well. So it's just good, and so I wanted to start with that. But anyways, as I sat down a little over a week and a half ago, just kind of knowing that we were coming up to our first service back, knowing that we were going to be our anniversary service, I was praying about what God would have me share and speak, and I found myself going in a completely different direction than I had originally thought I was going when I sat down to begin to work on my message. And the main reason for that is because the day that I sat down to do my message, the day that I sat down and began to pray and process, was the day that Congress was supposed to certify the election results. And as I'm sure all of you are aware of, unless you really have been hiding and not listening to news at all, that on that day, the Capitol was overpowered, police were overpowered, and people made their way into the Capitol, and it interrupted the certification process, and it actually forced the House and the Senate to actually have to evacuate the area. And I have to admit, I mean, as I listened to those things, it was sad to me to see what we saw take place that day here in America. It's one of those things that, well, that happens in other countries. It doesn't happen in America. And as I sat there watching the news and really processing all that had taken place, not just that day, but really over the last several months, I couldn't help but just ask that question: how did we get to this place? How did we get here? And I know if you listen to my messages online, I talked back in November about the reality of being sinful people. And how we, like the Israelites, we're all susceptible to sin. We're all susceptible to getting off track in our relationship with the Lord or the things that God has for us. But I think the question that I was asking that day was really a little bit more specific. Was there some particular sin or failure that led us down this road? And as I was praying and as I was processing, the one word that kept coming into my mind was the word pride. This word pride, which is it's the promotion of self, or it's exalting one's self. You see, our sinful nature naturally leans towards selfishness. We as humans, we have this tendency to make it about us, to put ourselves first, seeking our own wants and our own desires over the wants and desires of others. And a lot of times it's this pride because we think that we know what's best. You see, pride is this deceptive attitude that says, I know more than you. I'm better than you. I deserve this. My way is the right way. And the scary thing is that it's this subtle attitude that doesn't seem like a big deal at first. But if we don't deal with it, if we don't deal with pride and we allow it to begin to grow and fester, It can cause all sorts of problems. We're reminded of this in Proverbs 16:18, where it says, pride goes before destruction, right? Or a haughty spirit before a fall. We've heard that scripture, and I honestly believe that some of the struggles that we are seeing today in our nation are a result of this attitude that we have of pride. And I think if we want to see change in our nation, and even in our own lives, a lot of us are going to need to have an attitude adjustment. And I'm talking to myself here too. You see, our attitudes and how we respond to others in this world are bigger than we may think. Chuck Swindoll, some of you may have heard that name before. He's an evangelical pastor and author. He actually said this about attitudes. He said, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than success, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change the past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one thing we have, and that is our attitude. I am now convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. Powerful statement there about attitudes. But I think our attitudes play a huge role in who we are and how we affect the lives of those around us. And so this morning, I want to actually look at this attitude of pride that has caused, I think, some destruction and downfall in our nation. And then I want to look at how I think we can combat this destructive attitude. Now, as I mentioned earlier, this attitude of pride says it's all about me. It's an attitude that we see all throughout our world, even in our own lives. And we begin to believe that the world revolves around us, where every decision we make is based on us and how it will affect us. Pride is something that's driven by self. And when we live life in this way, we fail to look at how it affects those around us. You see, this attitude of pride, it's all about self-gratification. It's about lifting up and elevating ourselves. And the thing with pride is if there are no accolades, if there are no pats on the back, then we ask the question, well, why should I even do it? And this prideful behavior, it becomes a relational parasite because our relationships are then based off of manipulation. Because suddenly it's about what we can get from those relationships. And if we can't get anything out of that relationship, or when the well runs dry from that relationship, then we just move on from them to someone else. And the more prideful we become, the more we become incapable of sacrifice. Because any sacrifices we make are based off our motives, right? It's based off what we will receive from doing it. We're only willing to sacrifice if there's something in it for us. These are characteristics of a prideful attitude. And as bad and as horrible as they sound, right, we go, wow, I don't want to be anything like that person. Many of us probably exhibit some of those characteristics, and I'm talking about myself this morning as well. because it's so easy for us to get caught up in our own little world. It's so easy to make things all about us, to manipulate the situation, to manipulate the circumstances so that they work for us and that they go in our direction. It's so easy for us just to focus on me, me, and more of me, right? And the sad thing is, oftentimes we don't even realize sometimes that we're doing it, that that's where our heart has gone. But this attitude of pride is only going to lead to destruction and cause more hurt and pain in our lives, which is why we all have to come to the realization that the world doesn't revolve around us. Yes, like Bob and Larry used to remind us, if you have kids that watch the VeggieTales, God made you special, and He loves you very much. That is true. But it doesn't mean we are any more special than the person right next to us, to anyone else in this room. It just means that we should be thankful that God loves us and that He is a God of grace and mercy, because this world does revolve around Him. And we're created in this world to glorify Him and only Him, not ourselves. He is the only Savior for our nation. And we can't let this attitude of pride cause us to forget that. See, the fact is, we live in a fallen world, and there are all sorts of negative attitudes out there. Pride is just one of them. Pride is the one that God put on my heart to talk about today. But there are all sorts of negative attitudes in this world that will pull us away from the Lord and cause pain and destruction in our lives. And so the question is, how do we combat this attitude of pride? Well, one of the things that I've discovered over the years is that the way to combat the things of this world is with the things of the Lord, the things of the Spirit. And one of our greatest tools to combat this destructive attitude of pride is the love of Jesus. Jesus is love. We've talked about that. I talked about that a few weeks back. Jesus is love. His life on this earth was an amazing demonstration of that love. And love, it's a powerful tool that God has given to us to combat this destructive attitude of pride. And so let me read to you a well-known scripture about love, right? Many of us have heard this scripture time and time again. Maybe at a wedding, the pastor has shared the scripture, but it's 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5, and I have it here to go up on the screen. It says this: love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. This definition of love paints a picture of someone who, instead of thinking of themselves, thinks of others. They put others above themselves. They put others first. You see, love, it pulls the focus off of us and points it first to God, right? We love God first. It points us to God because it's in and through Him that we receive that power to love. And then through that power, we put the focus on others. You see, love puts our motives in the right place, because that's what love is all about. Pride is all about self, the wrong motives, where love is about God and others, the right motives. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, what are our motives? What are my motives right now and today in a world that I'm living in? What are my motives? Why do we do what we do? Why do we respond the way that we respond? Why do we fight for the things that we fight for? Is it for God? Or is it for ourselves? Are we really seeking the Lord in this, or are we seeking our own desires? As Christians, when we fight for things, we need to make sure that our motives are the right motives. We need to make sure that above anything else, we're operating in the love of Jesus. Now, I'm going to be honest and lay some things out on the table this morning and hopefully not get myself in too much trouble, but I struggle deeply with the political battles we're seeing right now here in our country. And the truth is, what I really struggle with is the way we as Christians deal with politics right now in our country. You know, whether you swing to the left, whether you swing to the right, it really doesn't matter because both sides have their positives and their negatives. It really doesn't matter. Both have positives, both have negatives. You know, the right-wing Christians, you know, they're fighting for the rights of unborn humans. They're fighting for prayer in schools, the support of Israel, a stronger defense, etc., etc., etc. While the left-wing Christians, they're fighting for social and racial injustice, affordable health care, programs to combat poverty and unemployment, etc., etc. All these things are good things, and in a perfect world, they would all be okay, right? But whether you swing this way or that way, we have to remember that first and foremost, we are not Republican, Democrat, Independent, wherever you fall. First and foremost, we are Christians. First and foremost, we are followers of Jesus. Our love for Jesus has to come before our political agendas. And as Christians, we can't forget what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:13, where he says this, "If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." You see, it doesn't matter what we're fighting for if we don't have love. It's about love. If our motives aren't based upon the love of Jesus, then it really means absolutely nothing. Christianity is not an agenda for political activity. And it's not a religion that makes us better than them. Christianity is about loving Jesus in a way that radically changes the human heart. That's what Christianity is about. Being a Christian is about the power of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and radically changing who we are. It's about putting off the old Darren, right? The prideful, arrogant, sinful Darren, and beginning to put on the new Darren who Christ has called me to be. It's learning to put on the things of the Lord. And the first thing we need to start with is love. His love. The first fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:22 is what? It's love, right? It's the first fruit of the Spirit. And I don't think that that was by chance. Because in 1 Corinthians 13:13, we're told that these three remain, right? Faith, hope, and love. But what does it say? But the greatest of these is what? It's love. So the thing we need to do first and foremost is to learn to love. To learn to love like Jesus loved. Because if we love like Jesus loved, we have the ability to change the world. Now, many of you know that I was a pastor in Newburgh for 10 years. And oftentimes when I had an appointments in Portland or had to go out to Portland for some reason, I would end up cutting through Tigard on my way home. And I would always drive past Tigard High School. But one afternoon when I was on my way back home, I happened to hit that area at the time when Tigard High School was getting out of school. All the buses were lined up, kids were going across the road, and everyone was leaving. But I share that because what I saw that day ultimately made me sick to my stomach. There was a man standing, it's hitting me right now too. there was a man standing out on the street in front of the high school with a sandwich board draped over him. And on that sandwich board were all sorts of statements like, if you don't love God, go to hell. God hates sinners. Homosexuals will burn in hell. Repent now or burn. And as he wore that sign, he was pointing at these high schoolers. He was especially pointing at these kids on a bus, and he was yelling at them, saying those statements. You're going to burn in hell. This man was so full of anger and hate, and like I said, it made me sick to my stomach as I drove by. You see, this attitude of pride, it hates anything and anyone that isn't about what they're about. That's what happens, I think, when self gets in the way. Self starts to play God and thinks that it knows best, thinks that it knows how to handle things. But I can tell you this, the way that man was handling things is not how God handles things. And you know how I know it? Because that's not how Jesus handled things. When you look at the scriptures, Jesus didn't respond in that way. What happened a week and a half ago here in our nation and capital, and what's been going on in our nation has been pretty messed up. But have you ever read about how things were here on this earth when Jesus came? When Jesus walked this earth? I actually talked about this a little bit at Christmas, and I can tell you that the Roman Empire was as messed up as they come. When it comes to living in sin, the Romans knew how to do it. But here's the thing, even though that was the case, Jesus wasn't out with a sandwich board yelling at them and pointing at them and telling them that they were going to burn. Instead, he was actually out rubbing elbows with many of those sinful people. And what did he do? He was simply showing them love. You see, Jesus handled a messed up world a lot differently than many of us handle it. And the reality is, we're called to live like Jesus lived and to love like Jesus loved. And Jesus loved and loves everyone. He created all of us, and he created all of us in his image. He loves us. But the problem is, our holier-than-thou attitude over the years has caused us to become prideful. And we become people who have forgotten how to love like Jesus loved. And instead of people who love and accept everyone, we've pushed those people out that we don't agree with. And it's caused this massive division, not just in our world, but in the church as well. Right? We've seen Christians on both sides fighting and hating one another. A few years ago, I was in a meeting with a group of 10 to 12 other Christians. They were all, I believe everyone in that group that we was with were believers. And in the midst of those conversations, someone started talking about a friend that had been struggling with a gay lifestyle, with homosexuality. And I have to admit that this topic created a very heated conversation amongst the believers that were there. And it led to this question of whether or not someone who is gay should be able to attend church. And in the middle of that conversation, one of the people there, knowing that I was a pastor, asked me how I dealt with this in my church. Now, I'll be honest, I was trying just to lay low, right? But he asked me, how do you deal with this in your church? And so my response was something along these lines. I said, you know, this is one of those topics that has become very political in our world today. And I try to stay out of the political aspect of this question and simply focus on how I think Jesus would deal with it. And when I look through the Gospels, when I look at the life of Jesus, I see a man who loved and accepted all people. So my thought is, why should a church be any different? Because the reality is, none of us have it all right. We all sin. We all fall short. And whether our struggles are sexual sins, whatever those sexual sins might be, whether it's drugs or addictions or whatever, my heart and desire is that people would be able to come as they are. And as I was saying this, I quickly had someone pipe up and say, well, that's all good, but Jesus said, go and sin no more. So they need to know that if they're going to start coming to church and be a Christian, then they need to give up their sinful lifestyle. And my response was, okay, but tell me this. Have you gone and sinned no more? The room got really quiet. You see, the fact is, sin is sin. We like to categorize, well, their sin's worse than my sin, but sin is sin. We all struggle with sin. And please understand me here. I'm not saying, well, it's okay to sin. We all struggle with it. It's no big deal. Just sin. However you want to sin, go sin. That's not what I'm saying here. God's desire is for us to grow in Him, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to do our best to deny our sinful nature. That's why Jesus came to this earth, to bring healing to our lives. Luke 5:31 reminds us that it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. So why has the church been pushing out the sick for all these years when they're the ones that need Jesus the most? You see, I think it's our pride, our desire for self has made church all about us over the years. Church is so much nicer and cleaner if we make it this perfect little religious institution where we get all dressed up and act like everything's perfect. Right? So we don't have to deal with the messiness of life. That's what church has become. This escape from life at home. Our pride and selfishness has caused us to become the Pharisees and Sadducees of today. The very people who fought against our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pride, I think, has destroyed our nation. It has made everything all about me. It's all about us. And I think the only way we can truly combat this attitude is with the love of Jesus. Love is the greatest tool that we have in our arsenal as followers of Jesus. And as we celebrate our 9th anniversary as a church, I want to remind you of the mission that God gave to us as we were in the process of planning this church. That mission is simply to love God and to love people to see His kingdom extended. As we seek to love God with all of our heart, it's then that we truly discover His love for us and we discover what true love looks like. And as we experience that love for ourselves, then we can't help but begin to love others in the same way. And when we love others in that way, with the kind of love that puts others first, not ourselves, but puts others first, the kind of love that accepts all people, where all people are welcome, all people are loved. When we do that, then we will see His kingdom extended, because that's the kind of Christianity that people are drawn to, not the person with the sandwich board saying turn or burn. People are drawn to love. It's by your kind. It's your kindness that leads us to repentance. We read in his scriptures. His kingdom will be extended, and it will have nothing to do with us and everything to do with him and his love at work in us. Amen. I hope that this wasn't too heavy today coming back here, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, just this morning and this opportunity to be here. And Lord, I believe that you put this message on my heart, Lord, as I sat down that day and all that was happening, my heart and desire was to hear you, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that this wasn't too heavy of a message this morning as we come back together, but Lord, that you would just allow your word to reach each of us where we're at, Lord. There's a lot of things I shared here, Lord. I'm not trying to say that we are all prideful, arrogant people and we all need to this or that, but there's bits of that in all of us, Lord. Where are those areas where we've become prideful? Where are those areas that we need to give over to you? Where are those areas where we're not learning to love the way that we should love, where we're not loving others or putting others first in the way that you desire us to? And so, Lord, speak to us, show us, teach us. Lord, we know that the Christian life is a journey. You don't expect us to say yes to you and have it all together immediately. It's a process. Every day you're working in us, helping us grow in you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you allow this word to encourage us, to help us grow in you, and that we'd keep taking those steps closer to being the men and women that you've called us to be. And so, Lord, we thank you for these things. We thank you for our 9th anniversary as we celebrate, Lord, what you've done in and through our church and the amazing people that have come in and been a part of our church, and maybe they've gone other places or you've taken them places and worked in their life in different ways. But we just thank you for who we are, who you've called us to be, that we are a place where people can come as they are. We are a place where all are welcomed, all are loved. And so help us to let your love shine through us, to be who you've called us to be, not just here on Sunday mornings, but even throughout the week, Lord. And so we give these things to you. We thank you and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.